Thank you, Simon. I am suffering a bit, which is why Simon gladly offered to read the gospel for me this morning. Advent, a season of hope and expectation. We are a people of expectations. When we go to bed at night, we expect daylight to follow in the morning. And when we're driving on the roads, we expect others to stop at the stop sign, or if the lights are on red. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. We expect the church to be open on Sundays, the lights on, eating on, and Eucharist to be celebrated. We have expectations for what is appropriate behaviour for both ourselves and others. Our days are full of expectations. They offer some predictability and order to our world and our lives. But there are expectations that can affect us more profoundly than the day-to-day ones. Ones of hope and of dread. Both of these have the power to imprison us. Expectations of hope create a framework of how we think the world and life should be. They are often the ideals and dreams that carry us forward. They, in some way, describe our world vision and what we want. And then the expectations of dread are the things in life that we fear and want to avoid. And whenever we speak about wanting to simply get through the next day or the next week or any particular aspect of life, there is usually an underlying expectation of dread. They pull us out of the present moment into a future we do not yet have, except only as it exists in our mind. And yet pretty soon we begin to act and speak as if our expectations are the reality of our lives, and we allow them to shape our attitudes, our beliefs, the way we relate to others, and they can even shape our image of who God is, where he can show up, and how he should act. We so often question God rather than ourselves, trusting our expectations of what God should be doing more than we trust what God is actually doing. And John the Baptist is a man of hope and expectations. Last week's gospel showed him to be a voice crying out in the wilderness of Judea. He expects a new kingdom and a new ruler, wielding wrath, fire, and axes. And he certainly expects one who is more powerful than he is. It is John's expectations that give him the confidence to turn his back on the religious establishment, to go to the desert, and to seek God in the wild and untamed places of life. But today, the gospel offers a very different picture of John. Today, he is a prisoner with a question. Are you the one, or are we to wait for another? How did he go from being a prophet with all the answers to a prisoner with questions? At one level, it started when he criticized King Herod, and he told him it's not lawful for him to have his brother's wife. So Herod arrested, bound, and imprisoned John. So now he is in prison, a hellhole of a place, filthy, nasty, foul, and dark, with plenty of time to think, remembering the high hopes he had about Jesus being the Messiah. He, like many others, had been preparing for the revolution and would have been the first to volunteer to join Jesus' forces. But time went on and on and on. Reports that had been coming in gave John no clue that Jesus was thinking about overthrowing Caesar or Herod or anybody else for that matter. Yes, there were some intriguing stories of miraculous occurrences in places where Jesus was, but no revolution. So John may be left wondering, is he the Messiah? Is he the answer to our nation's prayers? Herod may have put John in prison, But it is John's own expectations that have imprisoned him. Herod's prison, physical bricks and mortar, is an external symbol of the inner prison in which John now waits, an interior prison of disappointment and disillusion. He is confined by his own unmet expectations of the Messiah. Okay, so he's heard all about what Jesus is doing, but where is the axe? Where's the fire? Where's the winnowing fork? Where is the wrath in the midst of cleansing lepers, in giving sight to the blind and raising the dead? And so John sends a message with his disciples. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? It's as if he's saying, you are the one, aren't you? Or is there someone else? But note the interesting response from Jesus. Instead of giving a straight answer, he says, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Words right out from the prophet Isaiah that we heard in our first reading. And in those, it was indicated to an oppressed people that they were not alone, that God was with them. John has been incarcerated by his own expectations of who the Messiah is and how the Messiah should act. And so his vision of the kingdom is small, his expectation of the Messiah narrow. And that's the danger we have when we hold on to what we expect too tightly. We imprison ourselves with a view of God, of the kingdom, of the world, even our own life, that is too small, too narrow. And we try to confine God's work to what we expect. But that is not who God is or how God acts. And it may be that by being a Christian, we thought that God would make our lives easy. But instead, he calls us to live more deeply. We may have expected God to eliminate our suffering, but instead discovered that God is simply standing with us in the midst of our pain. We may have expected God to make us number one, but instead he calls us to identify with the least, the last, and the lost. We probably expected him to make us strong, but he called us to discover his strength in our weakness. We probably hoped God would destroy our enemies, but instead he commands us to love them. So what happens when Jesus doesn't look the way we want, nor seems to be doing things in our lives or in our world the way we would expect? It would be so much easier if Jesus would just come, do, and be as we hope and expect him to. Yes or no, are you the one who is coming? But a simple yes or no will not release us from our prisons. We will escape only when we let go of what we expect, when we open our minds and hearts to a bigger kingdom and trust God more than our ideas about God. So I just wonder if any of us have isolated ourselves from the love, healing, and life that God offers. I wonder if any of us have found ourselves filled with questions and doubts. If we have, then just do what John did. Simply ask Jesus. He won't be one who will turn you away. He won't be angry with you. He will just be as loving and patient with you as he was with John. He knows how hard it can be living in this broken world. He knows that following him is not a straight and easy path, but rather a difficult, winding road that has ups and downs. Because much of the time, Jesus didn't look the way people expected him to. He looked like a helpless baby in a manger, like a 12-year-old boy being obedient to human parents, like a homeless rabbi being followed by fishermen. He looked like a common criminal being beaten for crimes. He looked like a failed wannabe Messiah hung out to die. So no, Jesus didn't always look the way people expected or wanted. But fortunately for us, he was just what we needed. And he will never turn us away, but will lovingly comfort and welcome us. So let this season of Advent be the season for jailbreaks. The door of your prison cell may be locked, but only from the inside. Open the door, flee the confines of your expectations, for a new world awaits you. What will you see and hear?